All right, y'all doing okay? Did I lose my... Did you turn me off while I was whispering to her? That's good, that's good. All right. It's really more the whisper back that, you know, you probably didn't want to hear. I'm just kidding. We were just talking about online, engaging the online audience. Welcome to those that are online, and we're glad that you're here with us. And so listen, if I get too long-winded, okay, somebody just come behind me and just give me a tap, and I'll go straight in, and then it's over, okay? So I'm just kidding with you. Yeah, just say stop instead. Anyway, I want you to turn to your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The main verse is going to be verse 39, but I want to kind of set it up, and I've been saying this, but let's just be honest. All of us have been in an awkward position before, right? Gosh, I feel like every day I am put in an awkward position. I don't know what that is or why that is, but it just seems like as you get older, things just sometimes get a little more awkward, right? Okay. Anyway, I'm going to share some awkward moments as we go along here, but I want to give you kind of like a synopsis of what's happening, and you're going to say, oh my goodness, Pastor, I have studied this since I was a child. Okay, we're going to do it again. Is that all right? We're just going to repeat, but it's going to be a different repeat. I want you to think of this scene, and most of you, when I said that scripture, you immediately knew that I was talking about David, King David, not king yet, young. He was a shepherd. Can you all say shepherd? Okay, a shepherd. Who else was a really good shepherd? That wasn't as confident. Let's try again. Who else was like a really, really good shepherd? Okay, good. So you know where we're headed. Okay. We always got to relate things to Jesus. Is that okay? And so David at this time, he was a shepherd. He was young. He didn't have all of the giftings that we see over the years. But something about David in this scene, in this scenario, was so precious, was so unique, was so like willing, was so like, hey, I'll just do whatever you ask me to do, God. And so I want you to set this scene kind of in your mind. Do you still have an imagination left, or is that gone too? It's still here? Okay, good. So I hope you have a little bit of an imagination left. I want you to think about this. There's thousands of men, because in the scripture it says that all, anyone of age, meaning all the people that were able and were men, were in battle. So I want you to think, because battles back then were a little bit different, thousands of men lined up along kind of a battle line. The king would have been set up kind of in the back of the battle in the king's court, and there would have been people protecting around that king's court, and then just people everywhere. Then there would have been some space, and then on the other side would have been the opposing, let's say, people, and that was the Philistines. And amongst those Philistines was a large man. Larger than me, okay? And so a large dude, and we're not going to preach on that and all that. I just want you to know he was big, and he was coming up against the people of God. Here's the deal, thousands of men. Can you picture them on God's side, standing on God's, right? And not one of them would stand against the Philistine. So let's just think about it for a second. If you were one of them, this is where you got to imagine a little bit. If you were one of them, you would be what? Defeated? You would feel like that obstacle in front of you, you can't face. You would feel like whatever they saw kept them oppressed. Not even what they experienced. They hadn't experienced fighting him, just the thought of fighting him. Have you ever been in a place where just the thought of going into something has already defeated you? This was where they were. And here's what's interesting. So you've got young David. His job was still to be a shepherd of the few sheep that were left. There's a lot of theology in there because things would have been taken up by war because many of the men would have been at war, and so a lot of it was going to war. And we see even in the scripture that the brothers say, hey, there's just a few sheep left. Why are you protecting them? We're getting to the end. We don't have much left. They were getting to the end of themselves. Then here's David. He hasn't been around the defeated people. You ever been in this scenario, like you walk into a defeated room and you're like, oh gosh, I didn't know they were all defeated. As a pastor, you know how many times I walk into places where everyone's defeated and I have to come in and say, you're a believer, right? Well, yes. Well, then you're not defeated. Turn the news off, get up and let's go. He walks in the room. Actually, he walks up to the field. If you know the location, really big location, he walks in and everybody's defeated. And he begins to come in, and he begins to say things like, well, wait a minute, Don't you hear that he's talking about your God? He didn't even get on them. He didn't walk around and say, why are you all being defeated? Why are you being all, why aren't you? No, he started to hear what the opposing side was saying, and they were actually speaking against God. Not even about them. They were speaking against the God that was the creator, the God that empowered David, the God that did mighty things even before them. And so he comes onto the scene. He's kind of like the light. He comes in as the light and says, why are you all looking down? Why are you all thinking gloom and doom? Why are you all thinking that the end is here? Why are you all not getting up in the power and presence of God? And so then we get to this scripture, and we're going to start in verse 24. If you got your Bibles, please stand with me. If you don't, stand anyway for the mighty reading of God's word. In 24, all, we already established this. This is all the dudes. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? They're telling David, I mean, you haven't really seen him yet. Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great... All right, now the king, what's he doing? He didn't get up either. You know what God did to him? He anointed him. Do you remember the prophet Samuel? He anointed him to be the king of God's people, and he didn't even get up. Come on now. And you know what he does? Instead of getting up himself, he says, whoever, right? Now, if you're a woman here today, you should say, this is ridiculous, okay? Whoever will finally get up, you've been lazy, you ain't get up, and you think everything's defeated, but if there's a man amongst you that gets up and goes to fight him, I'll give you my daughter. Now, if I was his daughter, I'd be like, I don't want him. He only gets up because of me. No, he should have gotten up first, then I'll take him. Ladies, y'all are too easy on your men. You just pick somebody and think they're the end of the world. They mistreat you. They don't get up. They don't rise up. And you just take them anyway. Get rid of them because they ain't God's. That daughter should have said, Dad, they won't get up. If they're only going to get up for me, then they're not going to get up for you. This is what the king does. Instead of getting up himself, he throws everything he has and says, you can have it all. Now, we know he didn't really keep to that. Some of it he did, but then he got a little jealous. But we'll talk about that another year. Now, here comes David walking in. For who is the uncircumcised? Come on now, David says, let's call him who he is. Uncircumcised, not following God, enemy, Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God. See, here comes the light. Aren't we serving the living God? He don't serve the living God. And the people answered him in the same way, defeated. Well, I mean, he's bigger than us. Come on now. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, come on now. It's just disappointing. Now Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Now David was not getting on him. He was just saying, we serve the living God. So I don't know what's going on here, but here's the thing. His brother turns to him, and he heard him speak to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. What? And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil in your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. I love this. I preached on this a couple years ago. And David said, what have I done now? You ever been there, right? Somebody gets on, you're like, what have I done now? And you know what he did? He turned around. You know what we do? We dive into it. Let's fight. That ain't worth it. He realized there was a bigger battle there. So he turned around and he said, forget you. And in the same way, and the people answered him again and before. Now skip on to 38. Now, here's the deal. The king heard and said, all right, well, get David. I mean, might as well try, right? I mean, it's worth it. Nothing else is working. And so here we get to this. This is key. Now, you're going to think of this word and think of Genesis. Then Saul clothed, right? You all got up and put clothes on. Do you all have clothes on? Praise God, right? Aren't you glad I put clothes on? Okay. If I have no clothes on, you all wouldn't even be here. So then Saul clothed David with his armor. With his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail, and David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go. So he said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Church, this is some good stuff here. You're going to know why in a minute. Then he took his staff, the shepherd's staff, right? Come on now. Was a shepherd's staff ready for battle? No, but you know what it was? It was his, and God gifted him with it to be the shepherd of his people. And then he took off his staff and put it in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine, and the Philistine approached him. Whew. He took off, put on, and went forward. God, we ask right now, God, just come in power, because today is a day to put off and put on. And so today we are going to come against the enemy. He has no rights. He has no power. He has no victory. He is trying to come in here. He's trying to come in here and preach false mess. He's trying to come into our people and say truth isn't truth. He's trying to come to our people and say that what you said isn't true. And if we'll just let you clothe us, we're going to see truth like we've never seen before. And so today, God, come in your power, come in your presence, enlighten this place, and send us out just as David was sent in. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, let's go through 3 people here, okay? Let's get on some people. Is that all right? You're like, yeah, let's, okay, I'm just kidding. All right, so the brothers. The brothers were older. They were more experienced. They were actually ready for battle, okay? Remember, David was back just being a shepherd. Just say that all morning, shepherd, okay? So when I say he's a shepherd, okay? Just like Jesus is our great shepherd. And so he was back being a shepherd, but the brothers, they kind of knew what was going on, and they were bigger. They were wiser. Yeah. They had the abilities. They had the giftings. They had the know-how. They also were raised in a home that would have taught them that God is bigger than what's in front of them. And yet, they sat on the sideline and called their brother to bring some food. And so I kind of picture them like this. They're sitting on a rock. Y'all know what a rock is? Oh, like the big ones out there. You know the big ones that we couldn't even lift? Okay, anyway. I just picture them on a big rock leaning back with a piece of wheat in their mouth, and their brother comes up with the food, and they're just sitting around griping. And then they're sitting around griping, and their neighbor's griping, because you know what griping likes? It likes company. And so then just everybody's griping. This isn't going to work. Nobody's going to. And so David walks in on these brothers that just, and they were a little jealous. I mean, he wasn't even addressing them in some anger. So I'm going to say they have anger issues. Can you say anger issues? Y'all got anger issues? Just say yes. Okay. I'm just kidding. You might not, but most of us do. Okay. Then there's King Saul. Now, I know this is going to sound harsh, and I'm no better than him, but I just want to say this, okay? Because I believe that he exampled something in this scripture that is so sad. And that is, he threw everything he had out for someone to get up. Okay? You know, in war, stuff doesn't really mean very much. I sat with soldiers who came back, and you know what was not on their mind? Stuff. You know what was on their mind was who they encountered, what they did, what lives were affected, how it's affecting their family. Stuff didn't matter in war. But yet he threw everything he had and said, hey, if you'll just, I will. Here's what bothers me. He was the anointed king that God empowered to be his leader of his people, to be a beacon of hope, of light, of bravery, of strength, of might, to embody God's presence. You know what that king should have done? Let me just be honest with you. When everybody said, you know what? Even with your daughter, let's just picture she's beautiful like Ashley, okay? So even with your daughter, right, at the crux of this, no one got up. You know what he should have done? He should have said, okay, got his, put it on. Got his, put it on. Got his, put it on. Got his, put it in. Got his, put it on. He should have rose and he should have gone forward. And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, had he started to put his armor on and said, okay, if you're not going to go, I'm going to go, his men would have said, whoa, taking the wheat out of their mouth, put the food on the ground, and I believe they would have gotten dressed for battle. And you know what, as a leader, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying if there's a plate that needs to be washed and I'm able to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wash the plate. If somebody needs something and I'm able to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick it up and do it. He should have gotten up, and he didn't get up, and he waited for somebody to get up in his place. When his whole army said no, he should have said yes. So to me, in this whole event, I just kind of exclude him. And then you know what else he did? This is so disappointing. He didn't want to go in battle with his own stuff. So you know what he did? He said, this doesn't really work, but I'm going to let you try it. You know what people do to you all the time? This didn't really work for me, but I'm going to give it to you to use. You know what parents do all the time? It didn't work for me, but I'm going to push it on you. He had the nerve to say, take my stuff, put it on, it'll work. What? It didn't work for you. It didn't make you brave. It didn't make you get up. It didn't make you go, so don't give it to somebody else. Then there's Goliath. Good old Goliath. We've been talking about that since I was a baby. I could recite about Goliath and be scared to death at the same time when I was 3.5 years old coming home talking about some Goliath. You know what Goliath was? He was a representation of the barrier between the power and presence of God and his people. You have barriers in your life that seem like Goliaths. When you get onto them, they ain't that big. He was a giant. He was a problem. He was a vice. He represented the impossible, yet it wasn't impossible. It was like out of those thousands and thousands of men, no one said, okay, let me just see what God's going to do. You know why? Because they weren't talking about God. When they were back at the rock sitting down, eating their little bit of food that was left, there's only a few sheep left, hint, hint, things were getting rough because they were just sitting around, eating their little bit of sheep. It's so sad, isn't it? A little bit of sheep meat that's left. They weren't talking about, well, I wonder if God stepped in. I wonder if we all got on our knees instead of eating a little bit of sheep that was left, if we got on our knees and said, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? What if they said, this isn't a problem right here, we need to look here? What if they said, you know what, let's stop this thinking, and but they didn't. They looked at Goliath. Wow, he's big. You ever look at your problem and say, well, that's bigger than God? Well, then you're believing a lie. Well, then you don't understand the power and might of God. Think about this for a second. You will always behave in a way that is consistent with how you see yourself. Now, what do you mean? Think about this for a second. They saw themselves in relation to Goliath. They saw themselves in relation to the giant before them, not in relation to God. So they saw themselves in a way that wasn't accurate. Do you sometimes see yourself in a way that isn't accurate? See, that was the problem. Everybody, now come on now, everybody was balancing themselves off of somebody else. Now there's some ladies in the room. Say amen. You're going to get so mad at me. Gosh, I'm so sorry. This is so bad. And thankfully, I got to work at home when I'm done. So rain, just hold off so I can mow for the whole afternoon. But anyway, I think it's kind of funny because like women, you know, they look at other women and it's like, I'm just not. Now, she doesn't do that anymore because she's grown up. You know what I mean? She's grown some. But when I first met, come on now. It broke my heart because she would compare herself. Well, you know, she speaks better. She looks better. And you know what I don't hear anymore? I don't hear that. And when I do, you know what I do? I say, honey, right? That ain't true. You are who God's created you to be. She'll often say to me, after we have it. Now, you know, conflict happens with kids, right? It happens. It's okay. She'll come after a conflict. I'm not a good mom. I'm like, babe, you are a great mom. That's part of motherhood. It's okay. And I don't always do it, but I've tried to do it over the years, and that is when I feel like she's starting to feel bad about herself, I say, honey, you're a great mom. You're a way better mom than I am a dad, and if it weren't for you, I'm not sure. It's just the truth. And Janae would second it. I know she's mad at me because what I left her, a gift this morning. So anyway, I didn't have time, so she took care of the gift. Yeah, it's all right. A gift, I mean poop in the floor from the puppies. But anyway, I did not have time for all that this morning. And so, but think about it. what you're looking at that you're judging yourself against is going to limit you. If you're looking at God, you're going to begin to not look at the limits before you. You're going to begin to step into your own skin, step into your own giftings, and step into the way the Creator knit you together. But these men sat around and looked at each other and said, "We're not good enough. And we just never will be." You know why? Because the honor that would have come from receiving the daughter of the king, come on now, the daughter of the king, there's a lot of stuff in here. We don't have time for it all day today. But to receive the daughter of the king and the riches of the king, and yet still everyone looked around and said, "We're just not good enough." Their abilities were limited by their barriers, which were based off of what they could see. And oftentimes, your barriers are based off of what you see, not who you're looking at. All right. Before we get into the second half of this, it is hard to experience something outside of what you believe is possible. See, sometimes it's not about what you see. It's not about you evaluating. It's just you just don't think it's possible. It has nothing to do with your abilities. You just look at it and say, "It's not possible, and I'm not meant to do it." See, many of them, and I think the brother in particular, he was looking at it like, "It's just not possible. Let's just give up. Let's just end this." In verse 28, what happens? He hears his brother who breaks into the scene as the light of the scene, and he breaks into the scene and he hears him. He's not even addressing him, and anger starts to... You ever just hear something, anger starts to... Come on now. You ain't even a part of it, and anger starts to... You ever get the text? I'm like, "Wait a minute, you weren't even in the room. How are you angry about this decision?" Well, you know, gossip, you know, gets around and then they get angry. They're not even, and they didn't even hear your heart. And then he didn't even hear David's heart in it, and he was already angry about it. You know why? Because he was looking directly at what he saw, and so he believed what he saw was it. Church, if that's your faith, it is so small, it is so lacking. It is so insignificant. It is so insufficient. Because if you're looking at it and saying that's all we can, then you are limiting God's power, presence, and move in your life. He was looking at it from this way, not from this way. And he got mad when David came in and he wasn't even looking around. He was looking at God and he was saying to God, "Wait a minute, aren't they defying your name?" He wasn't even looking at them. He was saying, "I can't believe they're talking against God." It fired him up. But here's the key. It's hard to resist becoming angry with someone who believes beyond the scene when you only believe the scene. Come on now. When your wife says, "I think this is possible," and you say, "Oh, nope." It's hard when the pastor says, "God's telling us, nope." It's hard when your boss says, "What do you think?" Nope. It's hard when your kid says, "Well, you think I could?" Nope. Because your head's down. It's not up. You know how many churches' heads are down? A lot of them. Because like 80-some percent of the Nazarene churches are on the decline. And that's actually pretty significant in most denominations. Because our heads are down or they're, ooh. Then there's David. Y'all ready for this? This is the great part. Come on now, you ready? Say amen. David comes into the scene. Everybody's mad, grumpy, eating whatever's left, not standing up, not sure what to do, focusing on the barrier, focusing on the problem, and David comes in. It's like, you ever watch Lord of the Rings? I love those movies. I haven't watched them in years, can't remember half of them. But anyway, I do remember this part. I forget which one it was, but there's the battle and they're about to get defeated. And Gandalf, you all know Gandalf, okay? The wizard, I know probably from another church. But anyway, and the light shines through. I mean, it's a moment in the movie theater. I saw it 5 times in the movie theater. Just don't convict me, okay? That's back when I was single. You too, see? You weren't single then, though. I mean, you left him all that time? I mean, my word. I'm going to try that 5 times in the movie theater, see what happens. It ain't going to happen, see? That was the single year, so single people, enjoy it. I'm just kidding. It's good both ways. Anyway, so I went 5 times, and I still remember the chills that I would get when Gandalf, if you haven't watched it, it's incredible. It's the moment the battle's going, and all of a sudden the light breaks through. And then all the people start like, oh, wait a minute, we can do it because Gandalf's here. All of a sudden, David breaks through. All of a sudden, he begins to say to the people, well, you know that they're defying our God, and so if they're defying our God, it's not about us. And so David comes in, and he begins to shed light on the scene. If you'll let God come in to your barriers, your problems, your impossibles, I promise you, when the light of God comes in, they're not going to be barriers. They might be, but they're pretty small. They're not going to be problems, because problems aren't problems with God. They're places where he can move and show himself. And so all of a sudden, David, which scripture says he was handsome and built, right? Just like me, you know what I mean? Just right here, handsome and built. Nah, just kidding. Then we get to verse 38. This is the best verse in the whole thing, okay? Now, mind you, it's awkward for the brothers. Now, come on, let's just be real humans, okay? If you were in the midst of something and you were bigger, you were more talented, and you were more able-bodied, but you sat back, and then your little brother, like little, because he would have been like a very significant age difference, the little brother who isn't even of age to be called a man, come on now, he ain't no man, comes in here and begins to make you look bad, right? This is what happened here. And then all of a sudden, right, the king says, okay, let's try it. Why not? Nobody else would. It was awkward. It was awkward for the brothers. Why do you think they got angry? Well, here comes a little brother who was just bringing us food, and now he's all of a sudden before the king. You should have gotten up. Now, if I were David, I would have just said, why didn't you get up before? That's not Christ-like, right? But think about this. This is the best verse. And then Saul clothed David. Do you need somebody else to clothe you? At some point, when you grow, you should start clothing yourself. Now, mind you, I understand when you're injured or you're hurt or you get older and you need assistance, but we're not talking about that. You know what happened in the garden? You know why they needed to be clothed? Because they believed something that wasn't truth. So let's talk about this for a second. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, put his shield and his helmet, his on him. See, when the enemy cannot change what you think about God, he is going to try to change what you think about you. So right there, you know what the enemy was trying to do? Trying to get David to put on what Saul, and what Saul didn't work. And so all of a sudden, David is clothing himself willingly, just kind of saying, okay, I mean, I'll try it. Willingly, all of a sudden, Saul is putting on stuff that didn't work for him, and he's saying, how about you put it on for you? How often do we clothe ourselves with something that didn't work for somebody else, but they say it's going to work for you? And so they put it on you. See, here's the deal. That was not the truth for David. And oftentimes what the enemy wants to put on us is not truth for us. And so we need to disregard it. The enemy has no ability to say truth. The enemy has no ability to speak truth. And I want to kind of skip to, sometimes the devil shows up looking like he belongs. Now I want you to think about this for a second. Go back to the garden, okay? Now we're going way back to the beginning. God had gifted Adam and Eve with this beautiful, like, garden, everything they needed. And the enemy didn't belong there, just like the enemy doesn't belong in your heart. You realize that, right? He doesn't belong speaking truths to you that aren't actually truths, but you're beginning to believe are truths and they're not truths. And I could, right, I could just keep on. It's not truth. He has no ability to say truth. There isn't part truth from him and part truth from God. It's God's truth. And he came into the garden, and since he wasn't welcome there, he had to find something willing to receive him. So he found a serpent, and he embodied the serpent, and he began to speak, and all of a sudden, Adam and Eve took truth, and they replaced it, and guess what happened right away? Right when they replaced it, the scripture tells us that they clothed themselves with fig leaves. All of a sudden, something happened. All of a sudden, a realization. all of a sudden they were okay with themselves, now they're not okay with themselves. And you know what? There's still a battle. The enemy's still trying to get to us and saying, you shouldn't be okay with the way you were created. You shouldn't be okay with the stuff that God's given you. You shouldn't be okay with the created order. Wait a minute, you're telling me that God the Creator, who actually thought about you, and the scripture says, knit you together and said, if Joe will just follow after me, this is just right for him. He will feel fulfillment if he steps into this. He will be clothed with righteousness if he'll... I mean, Ashley, she is a... And if she'll just... She'll feel like she's never felt before. Because, see, they never felt like they had to clothe themselves with fig leaves before. Because, see, they weren't living a lie. They were living a truth. And then they believed a lie, and they had to clothe themselves with something because the revelation came. And you know what? Every time you let the enemy come in and speak a lie to you, you have to do something about it. You have to clothe it. You have to cover it. You have to do something with it. And so, the devil showed up, and all he is a liar. And he had convinced every one of those men that they weren't good enough. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that at some point in your life, he's convinced every one of you that you're not good enough. And you know what? The devil is a liar. Because you know what? Adam and Eve were good enough. You know what? What God gave them was good enough. And you know what? Now we're working to get back to realizing that what the enemy has for us, it ain't good enough. How God created me is good enough. How God created me and gifted me is good enough if I'll just step with him. And here's what I mean. Let's go back to the scripture. Saul said, use what wasn't good enough for me. Clothe yourself with my armor. Clothe yourself with, and then David in vain tried. Hey, out of respect, right? He was the king. He tried. It was like, all right, my boss said it, so I'm just going to do it. Even though I don't feel right about it, my parents said, my friend said, my teacher said, my so-and-so said, so I'm going to try it. It doesn't feel right. You know what? David was brave enough to say, I got to get this off of me and put on the gear of a shepherd. Who do we serve? We serve the good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. So right in the beginning of David's life, we were seeing that God was calling a shepherd to shepherd his people, not a king. See, the people wanted the king. God didn't want to give him a king. He wanted to be the shepherd of his people. And so he took a shepherd and made him king. And eventually David, what? Kind of forgot about being a shepherd, but that's okay. We're not talking about that today. And so he took this shepherd and he took off all that stuff. And you know what he used? He picked up his staff. You know what a staff does? For a shepherd, a lot of things. It rallies the sheep. You also use it as defense. If you read the scriptures well, you'll see that he actually, to this point, I mean, this is kind of brave, because I don't know that any of us want to do this, but he killed wolves, not a wolf, wolves, bears, right? Not a bear, but bears, right? Spit some COVID around, okay? Bears, and he killed lions, which means it wasn't just... It was plural, and in my mind, it's kind of like, okay, Goliath, a lion. Wouldn't you choose Goliath? Right? You want a lion? I mean, have you seen I would say Goliath's teeth were probably gross. You know what I'm saying? They have no toothbrush. It's probably nasty. His teeth are probably rotten out because he's just nasty anyway, because the enemy is nasty, and what he embodies is nasty. And so I just picture him not the way the Bible does. I picture him as nasty. And you put a lion's teeth in his teeth, I would have said, all right, let's just take his teeth. Because I don't want to mess with... So here's David, and he's like, well, I mean, wolves, bears, lions, Goliath, look at him. I'm just going to go with God. And so I'm going to clothe myself with what God gifted me to be, and I'm going to be David, which at this point is a shepherd. So I'm going to be a shepherd. And he picks up the staff. You know what else he picked up? The cloak. Remember what they took? Come on now. We just preached about it a couple weeks ago. You know what they raffled off from Jesus? The cloak. Come on, church. He put the cloak on. He didn't need no cloak. What was the cloak? It was signifying to us that we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd to say, hey, just be who God's created you to be, which is something that is so beautiful and so unique. And the enemy's trying to say it's not, and it is. And so David walked in as the light Saul tried to put on. He said, I can't. He took it off and he started to take on what God had. And then he took the little shepherd's pouch. You know, you got to have some, you know, it's like a man purse. You know what I'm saying? Like a man purse, you carry stuff in it, you know, a little bit of food, a little bit of stuff. You got a man purse we use when we hike because I hate carrying stuff, so I make her carry it. You know what I mean? I don't like stuff in my pockets. That's why I can't find my keys anywhere. Yes, y'all know about my keys. All week they're lost. Anyway, then I had to drive the church van home. And so anyway, he had a little man purse. It was a shepherd's pouch. And since he didn't need food in the moment and there wasn't much food left, you know what he put in there? The only thing that wasn't a shepherd's was some stones. And those little stones, you got to think, man purse, these weren't like big. He didn't pick up a boulder from out there and throw it at Goliath. He picked up a stone that just touched the head, and God took care of the rest. So David decided to be who God called him to be. And you know what happened? He put it on and it worked. He put on his created order, and you know what happened? It worked. See, if you'll put on what God's asking you to put on, it's going to work. It's going to defy. It's going to empower you. God asked David to be David. The enemy asked David to be someone else. The enemy actually got into the camp and spurred some anger here, encouraged a king to take what didn't work to. And David just kept being that Gandalf. The light just kept coming. And he kept saying, nah, nah, all right, God, I'm ready to be David. The enemy always asks us to be someone else. And the God that I serve is asking me to be the best version of Joe that I can be. I can't be Adam and Adam can't be me. And God didn't create us that way. He gifted him specially for this season, and me specially for this season, and you specially for this season. And if you're going to unclothe yourself with what God has gifted you with and pick up another, just expect it not to work. Expect there never to be fulfillment. And expect in 20 years for it to grow in such a way that you have to peel it off because it's grown onto you. Thankfully, David got rid of it quick enough. And here's the thing. When you're not what God's created you to be, it is awkward. You can't tell me if we were there today that those thousands of men, that it wasn't awkward as they looked around and said, well, you, no, I'm not. Well, you, well, I'm not. Well, I'm not. Well, I, or why aren't you? Well, you're sure, what? It had to be awkward. It's why when David came in, it was awkward. But David didn't even look at the awkwardness. He looked at God. See, if we'll get past being uncomfortable, if we'll get past all the mess and all the junk and just keep pressing on and looking up, pressing on and looking up, are you ready to step out of the awkward and step into the light? So church, I guess in all of this, it's awkward not to be who God's created you to be. And I'm just going to speak it from here and tell you it's the truth. It was awkward when Adam and Eve replaced what God, because all of a sudden they started having to cover up. You're going to think I'm crazy. God didn't intend us to be covered up. This relates very much to what was and what's coming. We won't need to go into heaven and get covered up. Covered up from what? Jesus already went to the cross. Why are we covering up? Because, see, when we get to Jesus and he takes us to the Father and the Father receives us, there's no reason, again, to be covered up. But, see, if you're covered up right now in shame, if you're covered up right now in hurt, if you're covered up right now with what someone else told you you should, if you're covered up right now with listening to all the, because you know griping likes company, right? And then it wants more company. And once it's got enough company, it rises up. Well, why don't you rise up? Why don't you rise up and say, you know what? Let's stop and let's start. Let's unclothe ourselves with that mess and look at it and say, you know what? God says it's possible. It's possible. It wasn't until David started Remember, David started looking around instead of up. That things changed. He started looking across the way and across the roof and across the street at somebody else's porch. That things started changing. You know what happened when Peter stepped out of the water in faith and he started to go from looking up to looking? Then things started to change. I mean, I could spend all day with you today on that. If you'll look up and let the Creator speak into you the truth of his creation, the truth of how he knit you together, you won't want to look around. Because you're going to start saying, wow, God, you meant that for me? Wow, God, you created me. Yes, yes, yes. Now step with me. Let me give you just one last analogy. You ready for it? Say yes. Because you're getting it anyway. Okay. We love cameras at AFC. You don't know, but you're on camera. You know that's with a candy camera? You're on candy camera? Not really. But it's for safety and security, and we're always monitoring and watching back there. Thank you, Sean, because I know you're listening. But we have a lot of security here, which is important, and it's good for these days. And anyway, there's also the other side of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watch you when I'm not around, okay? So watch the staff. You know, I send pictures and screenshots. You know what you're doing? Get busy. You know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, all that sitting around and stuff. Anyway, I'm sure they're working. So the other night, Wednesday night, the ladies in the preschool department and the guys in there said, you got to look at the preschool class. And so, you know, the stalker and me did and went back and wound back and looked at it. And it was cute. And they wanted me to look at it because a little bit of, like, some love budding. You know what I'm saying? Like, little love. Y'all remember Little Love, you know what I mean? Gray and all the girls. Anyway, and a lot of, like, you know, arm hugging and fist pumping and, you know, a lot of just cute stuff, little kiddie stuff. But there was something that hit me, and that was this, and it had to do with today, and that was the men that are in there, Ministry Safe, that were there patting, that were there coloring, that were there when the kid raised their hand and he walked over and said, "How, you know, got down on their level and how can I help you?" And I mean, I don't know what they were saying because we don't have... At least that, you know, I can only see you, not hear you. So you can say all you want about me. I still can't know. And the getting down and then the fist pumping as they were coming in and going out and, like, the helping with the crayons and the loving and the... And I just started to become overwhelmed. And the one that was hanging on the arm and the patience that was shown. And I thought, you know, it's really important because my girls need other men to see, to live after, to see the love of Christ in. But you know what they can't be? They can't be their dad. And so if I want my kids to grow up and not seek another identity, another being, then I better rise up and step in and be the dad that he's called me to be. Now, it doesn't mean, now my kids would say, it means they should be happy all the time, I should never say no, and that's not truth, right? We have to be the best dad that God's called us to be, not our kids, because if you let your kids tell you how you should be, just get ready. You're going to be on a ride. You need to let them be on a ride, and you be outside of it, and you turn it off when it's time. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. I got to be the dad that God's called me to be, which has not always been best. I got to be the husband that he's called me to be, because you know what? I'm the only husband that... Just you, if I pass away, I'm the only one. You heard it here first, okay? You ain't allowed to remarry. Ain't nobody having her but me. I'm also the only pastor that God's called for this season. Now, you may vote me out in 2 years, and that's fine. But for this season, God's called me to do the best with this time. And that's where my heart is. You may not like it every day. You may not like every decision. But I promise you, and isn't this true? Every decision is led by the Lord and in prayer. And if God says, go for it, even if they don't like it, I'm going to have to go for it, even if they don't like it. Because only God is going to stand before me and say, when I said you went, when I called you, you won't have to answer for me and I won't have to answer for you. It's why you need to step into your shoes and be the best you that God is calling you to be. Because if he's calling you to be that you, then you know what he does? He gives you the staff. Come on now, church. He gives you the cloak and then he gives you the pouch. And then he puts in the pouch what you need, which was not what a shepherd needed. But at that time, it needed it, but it was in the shepherd's pouch. And so those stones were meant to go into that pouch and meant for those moments. But it wasn't the typical, and God isn't into this, it wasn't the typical battle gear, but it was exactly what was needed for that day. And so if it doesn't look typical to you, then say, okay, because God ain't typical, because he's creative. And so if he says, put this in your pouch, then put it in there. And when he's ready 10, 15, 20 years down the road, he's going to say, use it. Or maybe the next moment, he's going to say, use it. So church, be who God is calling you to be and be the best of that that you can be. Because you know what? Here's the problem. If I said to myself watching that video, you know what? They're good dudes, Brian and all them, and they're good. I'm just going to let them do my role. You know what's going to happen? Since I'm not the best that God's called me to be, then my kids aren't going to understand what it means to be the best that they can be in Christ. And you know what happens? I pass on a pattern. And then you know what happens? We got a bunch of Christians laying on the side with wheat in their mouth and a little bit of food that ain't really enough, everything dying behind them, and nothing really happening. But looking around, wondering why God won't show up. You know why? Because God shows up in us. And so, the challenge as you go out today is that you are the David. You are the Gandalf. You are the light in the darkness. You are the voice of truth, of love. David didn't go around and convict the men. He didn't tell them about all their wrongs. He actually said, why are you all sitting around? Didn't he just talk about our God? Let's go. You know where the anger came from was in the ranks. It didn't come from David. And I believe as you step into, people are going to see that you're not the one that's angry. You're the one just looking up and saying, you could be angry with me, but I'm going to keep looking up. And I'm going to keep holding on to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, be a David. Be empowered. Be filled with the Spirit. Be okay. If you're a David, be a David. If you're an Ashley, be an Ashley. And as God speaks, move in that. Don't try to be somebody. Don't try to look like somebody. Because the minute you think your skin isn't enough, you're going to have to start clothing it with something that isn't what God intended. God, today, we thank you for your word, for your power, for your presence. But today specifically, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would give us the strength and the ability that in no matter what we're in right now, that we would look up, that we would look to you, that we would allow ourselves to be filled with your power and your presence, and that we would be okay with being the David that comes in and says, hey, let's stop the griping and let's start the looking. Let's stop the nonsense and let's start realizing that the impossible isn't impossible with God. Let us start realizing that the barrier isn't a barrier with God. And then let us stand in who you've created us to be. And let us live and be okay with that. Because that's right where you are. And then, God, let us be okay with what you call to put into our pouch. Let us put it in there with might and with faith. With faith that's not seen, but is ready. We love you. We honor you. We pray against that enemy who tries to come in and who will try to come in. We pray against him in the name of Jesus, and we cast him out. And we pray that as we go out, that we would become just like Acts, the church scattered, bringing the truth, bringing the love, bringing the mercy and the grace of the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go out and be a David this week. God bless you.